From KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, Texas, it's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 1-800-933-5372. Our email address, anything@kera.org. You can also tweet your questions, your answers to me on Twitter. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. And we're going to take your calls and your emails, your answers, your questions live today. It's Friday, the 19th of September, and we're here waiting for you. Give us a call, 800-933-5372, or email us anything@kera.org. That's what Matt did. Matt writes, Dallas has installed a new pedestrian and bike crosswalk on Audelia, just south of Ferndale and Lake Highlands. Matt says the lights flash yellow, but if a pedestrian or cyclist is approaching, they flash red, then turn solid red. The sign says stop on red. However, the lights begin flashing red after the pedestrian has crossed and seem to remain flashing that way for some time. My question is, Matt writes, is it to be treated as a stop when it's flashing, or must you remain stopped there while the lights are still flashing red until they return to flashing yellow? He says, I've never seen a signal like this. Well, call us, 800-933-5372, or if you know the proper procedure, email us, anything@kera.org, or, of course, tweet me, at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Let's see, we also got an email from Colleen in Paradise, who writes, I'm interested in replacing the drywall in my master bedroom with horizontal shiplap paneling. My question is, it seems that the wood would weigh a lot more than drywall. Would this be too heavy for the studs to support? I've researched, she writes, many online sources, but none address the issue of weight. Also, if there's anyone out there that's done a project like this, could they recommend what type of wood they've used and the thickness of the wood they've used? She says, I was considering using pine in 6-inch to 8-inch wide boards. So if anybody has any advice for Colleen, give us a call, 800-933-5372. Email us anything@kera.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Let's see, starting off today, speaking of siding, let's talk to Madeline in Fort Worth. Hello, Madeline.
Hi.
Hi there.
I just found your program the other day. I really enjoy it.
Well, thanks for joining us.
I want to know if I can replace the sheetrock in one of my bedrooms. It's fallen in. And do I have to put that sheetrock back up there, or can I use that aluminum that I see the new houses are being built with? It's about a half an inch or less thick. I can do that. Can I put that up on the ceiling? Would that do the same thing as sheetrock?
Well, we'll see if somebody has an answer for you.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email, always open, anything@kera.org. Got the Twitter up as well. Here. You can tweet me at Jeff Whittington. Let's talk next on the phone to Cheryl, calling from Wiley. Hello, Cheryl.
Hi there.
Hey.
I have a question about the live billboards that I'm seeing along the freeways all over the Metroplex.
Mm-hmm.
And they just seem really distracting to me, and I wonder how that can possibly be legal.
So these are the ones that are... they're, I guess, giant LED screens, and they change.
Right, right. Yeah. And they're just, they're advertising different things or making different announcements, and
right. It
takes your eyes off the freeway.
Okay. Well, we'll see if somebody has an answer. You know, I would imagine it's the technology has advanced faster than the legislature, perhaps.
Possibly. But, you know, we're constantly warned not to text and things like that while we drive, and there's another thing, you know, taking our attention away from driving.
Well, we'll see if somebody has an answer for you or knows kind of what the situation with that is.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. On the Twitter, I'm at Jeff Whittington. That's where someone tweeted, I'm looking for a store to buy model cars and accessories other than Hobbytown or Hobby Lobby, or Michaels, I guess maybe other than a chain in the Dallas area. Does anybody know of a place? And let's see, also in Twitter world, Shelley tweeted me and says, the flashing red light at the crosswalk means stop. it's like a stop sign. So stop, look, yield, then go. And I guess if it's staying red constantly, that means it's like you're at a red light. That makes sense to me. I mean, the yellow one means, hey, this is a crosswalk that might be in use at any minute. The flashing red one means, just like when there's a flashing red light at an intersection, right? You stop, and then, you know, like a stop sign and go. But the constant red light would mean remain stopped. Somebody's crossing or something like that. But we'll see if we get some agreeance on that. As a matter of fact, let's talk about that with Scarlett calling from Denton. Hello, Scarlett.
Hi, yeah. I had an answer about the crosswalk. It is exactly how you just described it. It works the same as a normal stoplight. So when it's solid red, it's a stoplight. You can't go. When it's flashing red, it's like access stop sign. They have them all over Austin.
Great. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah.
That's a gold star today. We've got one. I think we've got one.
You got it right.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email, always open, anything at kera.org, or the Twitter, of course. It's functioning normally today, it seems to be, at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Let's talk next on the phone at 800-933-5372. Let's talk to Richard in Dallas. Hello, Richard.
Hello.
Hi,
I enjoy your program.
Oh, thank you.
I've got two quick questions. It's sort of... I just finished a book on Mary Queen of Scots. It was written several years ago,
mm-hmm.
and the author says that she knew a Scots language. I wonder if that language still exists, or did it die out?
Okay.
And also, I hear references about the remains of King Richard III was found under a parking lot. How do they know for sure that that was Richard III?
You know, I vaguely remember seeing a documentary about that.
It was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You hear references every once in a while. Some commentator will say something about
right.
it. And they said they found him. I just wonder how the historians or archaeologists know for sure that was Richard III.
I think they traced the lineage, right, to someone, and then they did a mitochondrial DNA analysis to match.
They did a DNA.
I think that's, if I remember correctly, I think that's how they definitively this. But you know, if you think about it, there had to be, so someone had to be able to accurately trace the lineage, and then when you, I guess.
Well, they might have had like a name tag. He might have had a ring or something with his name on it or something, you know.
Right. Well, they did some DNA, but then, you know, I think that's fraught because there's, you know, what if the genealogical analysis is wrong? But
okay,
but apparently they matched. Apparently they matched. So, well, somebody else will remember, and we'll get that one sorted.
I wonder about the Scots language if it still
yeah.
exists or not.
Well, you've asked. We'll see if we get an answer.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Colin. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. And, of course, you can send me a tweet at Jeff Whittington. Lots of calls coming in, though. Let's talk next to Cassandra in Dallas. Hello, Cassandra.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi, Mike. I have a question. I'm looking to buy I want some live bees,
mm-hmm.
but I don't want a whole hive, which seems to be the way that people sell them. I just want, like, maybe 20 at a time in a little container, and I can't seem to find that in Dallas.
Do you have a frame box, or are you starting a hive, or? I'm
no,
just curious.
No, I'm using it for apitherapy.
Okay.
It's bee venom therapy, and you have to have a live bee, and you let it sting you in the place where you're injured, and it seems to have amazing results with arthritis and other injuries.
And this has worked out for you?
I haven't done it yet.
Oh, okay.
I can't find a bee.
It's worked out for
many people.
Okay. Have you been stung by a bee before?
Yes.
Okay. So you don't have you don't go into anaphylactic shock or
no,
anything like that.
No, you do
okay.
have to do a test.
Right.
No.
Probably be smart. Okay. Well, we'll see if somebody knows where you can get a few bees at a time. I mean,
honeybees, not wasps.
Right. 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 Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Have to be honeybees.
Okay, well, this may be we're breaking new ground here because I don't think I've ever heard of this before today. So
okay,
thanks for calling.
It's been done for a long time, centuries, actually.
Well, we'll see if we get an answer for you.
Okay,
all right, thanks for calling. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. Let's see. And that's where Megan emailed us, asking, why aren't there any HEB stores in DFW? Megan said, it seems like they have a pretty strong following considering it's a grocery store. Is it because of some socioeconomic difference between DFW and other Texas cities? Actually, I think in North Texas, you know, HEB runs the Central Market chain here in North Texas, Megan. So maybe they don't want to compete with Central Market. That would be my guess, but somebody will know why they haven't brought the HEB brand to North Texas. And this is from Justin, who emailed us and says, so I know the laws have changed for the vehicle state registration sticker and the state inspection sticker. Justin says Texas has removed the mandatory state inspection sticker. But he says, my inspection sticker expires this month, but my registration sticker expires in December. Will I get pulled over and fined for an expired inspection sticker, even though when I get my new registration sticker, I have to provide proof of an up-to-date inspection service? And or can I just take my current inspection sticker off now? That is a good question. Somebody will know, hopefully, in the next 37 minutes, and call us at 800-933-5372 or email us anything at ketra.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington on the Twitter. Let's talk next on the phone to Jillian in Cedar Hill. Hello, Jillian.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going well.
Well, hey, I have an answer for the person who was asking about doing a wall in shiplap.
Yeah.
I actually have a house. I mean, I have a wall in my current house that we have done exactly that way, and we're doing two walls like that in the home that we're currently building. So I've done quite a bit of research. The house that I'm living in now, we actually did use 1x8 shiplap pine. And we didn't even take down the drywall. We just put it right over the drywall.
Okay.
And nailed it into the studs, and it held up great. And as far as the different sizes go, the one that's readily available at Lumberyard is the 1x8, because that's what they actually used to use in homes, when they built homes. So if she wants anything smaller than 1x8, she would have to go to a lumberyard that does custom millwork. And they can take a piece of 1x6 pine, or if she wanted a different wood, it would probably be more expensive, and they would have to mill it for her to be a shiplap.
Very good. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah, no problem.
Oh, and I think she was concerned that there was an issue with the weight, but it's not really. I mean, it's spread out over all those studs, and
right,
when studs are holding your house up anyway.
Studs, I mean, it's really. Yeah. It's meant to go on walls. That's
right.
Why it was made. So, We haven't had any issue with it pulling down. In the new house that we're building, we were advised to go ahead and remove the drywall before putting up the shiplap, just because in the future, if you decide, you want a different look, it's going to tear up your drywall anyways. You're going to have a million nail holes.
Right.
And it will just, fit more snugly against actual studs than drywall. So, we just threw it up. My husband did it. It took a matter of hours, and it looks beautiful.
Cool.
It turned out great.
Well, thanks for calling.
All right. Thanks a lot.
It's anything you ever wanted to know on KERA. I'm Jeff Whittington. Phone number is 800-933-5372. We'll have a line open there for a few seconds if you want to call right now. You can also email us anything at KERA.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. But stay with us, because we'll be back with more of your questions and answers shortly. Anything you ever wanted to know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, Texas. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our phone number is 800-933-5372. Email address anything at kera.org, and you can tweet me. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. That's what Andrew did, and Andrew said, regarding remote control hobbies in Dallas, your listeners should check out Remote Control Hobbies in Richardson. It's a store, apparently. Andrew says there is an HEB grocery store in South Fort Worth near Crowley via Twitter. And we also got an email on this from John, who says there's an HEB store in Burleson. He says, I've heard rumors from a neighbor who grew up in the Eagle Mountain Lake country area north of Fort Worth, who said there's supposed to be an HEB coming to that area. He says this was about a year ago when she told me this, but I know stores like Walmart acquire land for years before building. So there's a couple of HEBs if you're looking for them in the North Texas area. And we also got an email from Matthew, who wants to know if there are any churches in Fort Worth that partner with Tarrant Area Food Bank to run a food pantry. So does anybody know that? 800-933-5372 is the telephone number. Let's go next to James, who's been patiently waiting in Aledo. Hello, James.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey there.
You had a call earlier from someone that was wondering how in the world those large LED billboards could be legal.
Yeah.
And they weren't for a long time. As a matter of fact, they were only permittable on if they were on the property of the person that owned the billboard. But you can imagine how profitable those will be to the outdoor advertising industry if you don't have to send anybody out there to maintain them or change them, and you can run, you know, 3 to 5 different advertisers simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
So their political lobby overcame that hurdle in the legislature. I think it was the legislative session before the last one. I think it was actually 3 years ago. But they overcame that hurdle, and that's why you've seen a proliferation of them over the last 2 or 3 years.
Well, very good. Well, depending on your perspective, maybe not very good. But, James, thanks for letting us know.
Agreed.
Thanks for letting us know the answer. All right, appreciate
it. You're welcome.
Up next, 800-933-5372 is Abel in Denton. Hello, Abel.
Hi.
Hey there.
I had an answer on the Richard III question.
Yeah.
You were right about the mitochondrial DNA. That's been traced back to one of his living ancestors. But you're also right in saying that those genealogies are never quite exact, particularly considering they're usually not running through a legitimate line. And so some of the other evidence they used was the fact that Richard III was always said to have a pretty severe deformity. It was called a hunchback. And the corpse they found has severe scoliosis.
Mm-hmm.
So that fit, along with being in the general area of the battle, the right size, the right age. They actually originally thought that the corpse was a little bit too old to have been Richard. But it seems like, from all the evidence, that it's about, I would estimate about 80% that it's him. And I think for the archaeologists and historians, that's a close enough.
That's pretty close, yeah. What a lucky find, too.
I mean, it was completely random. And I don't know, the documentary you're talking about, you know, they kind of play up the drama of it, but they literally just stumbled on it.
Yeah, it was under a specific parking space or something, right?
Parking lot. Yeah, it was a church parking lot, and they were demolishing it, and they just happened to find it.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah, no problem.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email, always open, anything at kera.org. And we heard on the Richard III, we're killing it today, folks. We're getting some stuff answered for reals. Eleanor says, yes, a DNA match from a known descendant was how they totally confirmed it. Also, the parking lot was in a physical place that matched a historical place that Richard III was likely to be buried. So there is some confirmation on that. Gary in Denton emailed us, anything at kera.org, and says, there are two separate inspection stickers or inspection and registration sticker, two separate stickers through December 31st. So removal of the sticker constitutes a non-moving violation. However, since the person in question will be applying for new registration the 1st of January and their vehicle's inspection will still be in force, he or she will not need to have their vehicle reinspected. In effect, the September 2015 inspection will be good until January 2016 when the vehicle is then re-registered. So if I'm hearing this correctly, here's what I'm hearing. At the end of this year, right, we have one sticker. One sticker is for the inspection and registration. So if your inspection sticker expires before the end of the year, you're going to have to get it inspected, and then you know, if it times out that way. I would imagine they're probably bringing in, well, if you have proof of inspection now and you get your registration done, maybe not. So maybe there is still a question. You need two stickers till the end of the year. So wherever you are on the date continuum, inspection versus registration, you know, there you go. So if your inspection sticker expires before the end of the year, you're probably going to need to get another one. However, I'll bet the guys at the inspection sticker place, the inspection sticker store, will be able to tell you exactly what you need to do. 800-933-5372. Let's see. Up next. Wow. The patient caller of the week award winner goes so far to Katie in Arlington. Hey, Katie.
Hi.
Hey there.
Hey, we're new Texans. We recently moved to the Arlington mm-hmm. area, and we have a friend coming from out of town who loves Kansas City barbecue. And she said, well, what can Texas do? And we were wondering if listeners could recommend the best place for proper Texas barbecue in the Arlington Mid-Cities area.
Well, you might, and I'm sure we'll get lots of recommendations. You might actually check out, Texas Monthly has a barbecue finder app that they have put out with their, they have a barbecue editor named Daniel Vaughn, who's a writer from here in the area. And he is, and I think he actually tweets under barbecue snob. He used to tweet under barbecue snob, I think. Somebody will correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sure. But Daniel Vaughn is the man on Texas barbecue. And I know that Texas Monthly has visited, and he's visited lots and lots. This guy eats barbecue for a living. So you might look there. Initially, and see if you can find, and I think they have an app, the Barbecue Finder app, from what I've read. So you might look there, and we'll see if we get some suggestions for you in the Mid-Cities as well. I'm sure there are lots of candidates.
Great. Thank you so much.
You bet. Line open, 800-933-5372. Up next is Doug in Fort Worth. Hello, Doug.
Hi. I wanted to see if anyone corrected the whole pedestrian crosswalk thing, because if the light's flashing red, I mean, if you're in the intersection, mm-hmm. you know, you're not about to get run over, but the light's going to change imminently. So most people would not recommend running out into the intersection if it's flashing red. So now I like the ones that have the timer, the countdown timer
right.
on them. That's a little better, you know. So if you are in good shape and if you can get across the intersection in 10 seconds or whatever, then I guess that's okay. But, you know, in general, when it's flashing red, you're not supposed to run out of the intersection.
Right, right. Well, I think this is from the perspective of the driver.
Okay.
What our emailer was wondering about is, you know, on the road part where the cars are, they're getting either a flashing yellow, a flashing red, or a solid red. Pedestrians and the cyclists have a different signal. What you're saying is the crosswalk, they are going to the countdown timer now so that people can see.
Okay, I must have misunderstood.
No worries. I mean, it's always...
Thanks for clearing that up.
It's always good to talk about this stuff. Who else is going to do it, right? Who else is going to talk about crosswalks?
All right, well, I appreciate you.
Thanks for calling, Doug.
All right, bye.
Let's see. Up next, 800-933-5372 is Melody in Lindale. Hello, Melody.
Hello, how are you today?
Doing well.
I have a question. On your radio show a week or two ago, they were advertising a electronic car show in Dallas, but I didn't get the place or what the dates were. I was wondering if anybody out there might know.
An electric car show.
Sure.
Okay. Well, we'll see if somebody knows.
All right. Thank you very much.
You bet. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email, always open, anything at ketyari.org. You can also tweet me. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Brandon says there is only one HEB in the area, in Burleson, as a listener commented. It's close to the Burleson-Crowley line, but not in Crowley. So Burleson wants us to know that it's their HEB. Let's see. Someone sent us a picture where they walled their garage in new and old shiplap. Installing other styles face down yields the same look. So that's just a recommendation for, and it looks really good too. This is from somebody. And it looks like a really, really cool garage. Looks like it's got a charger or something in it too. Primer gray charger. Cool. Very nice. Nice work. Let's see. We got an email from Aaron who says, on the church in Fort Worth area, that works with the food bank. Gateway Church, I believe, Aaron says, works with the Texas Food Bank. Home church is in Southlake, but they have a branch in Fort Worth. And Aaron says, my question is, as popular as this program is, how come you're not on five times a week? Well, I can't answer that one. Let's see. Jay says, to the woman who's looking for a few bees so she can get stung as part of her therapy, in my opinion, being a beekeeper myself, I don't think most would be willing to give up even a few for you, because stinging is a guarantee of death for the bee. The barb and the stinger gets pulled out when they sting somebody, and the bee dies as a result. That said, she could try the Trinity Valley Beekeepers Association. They could poll their membership to see if someone would be willing to supply her with what she needs. Let's see. Lots of answers on HEB. Myra in Dallas loves and misses HEB after moving here from Central Texas. My understanding is that the founder of HEB had a gentleman's agreement with another major grocery store chain not to enter this and perhaps other markets for reasons I don't know. Myra says, I think this agreement has expired or will, such that HEB now has a location south of Dallas in Burleson. Let's hope they'll soon have locations closer to us in Dallas proper, Myra says. And Katie in Waxahachie wants us to know there are HEBs located in Waxahachie and in Ennis. So it looks like they're moving this direction. And Paul agreed with me that Central Market is an HEB store. 800-933-5372. Let's get one more on this from Amanda in Dallas. Hello, Amanda.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well.
So I moved here about a year ago, and I also greatly missed HEB, and I actually contacted the headquarters to get an answer why they weren't here in Dallas.
Okay.
And so they told me that they felt like at the time, or for right now, Dallas is pretty saturated with grocery stores, but that they would look into it for the future, so that they may come up this way, but they wanted to make sure they had a hold on Houston and then see what they could do in Dallas.
Hmm. Well, I bet the folks in Oak Cliff would argue that there's room for a grocery
That's
store
where
here
I
too.
Live. Yeah, so I would.
Right. All right. Well, hey, thanks so much for calling, Amanda. That's a great answer.
Awesome. Thank
you. Line open 800-933-5372. They're all great answers, but that one was good because, well, it just was, and I get to decide. So there you go. Up next on the phone is Michael in Dallas. Hello, Michael.
Yes. How you doing?
Doing well.
Yeah, it was two things about the inspection sticker.
Yeah.
I guess it was cleared up that the sticker is not going away. It's just going to be combined with the registration.
Right, and I guess it'll be issued by TxDOT instead of by the – well, it's issued by TxDOT anyway, but you'll just get it when you get your registration, I guess. I got to catch up on this.
I just registered my vehicle, and I asked them down at the county how that was going to work, and they didn't have an answer. Because they still supposed to be working on it. Because I was thinking, like, if you go get your inspection,
mm-hmm.
you get some kind of paper or something, you know, showing that you got it inspected and it passed, then when come times to register your vehicle, that's when they'll print something out there that'll have both the inspection and the registration on one sticker.
Right. Or perhaps they'll do it electronically. Because, you know, when I recently registered my vehicle, I had my proof of insurance, and I asked them, hey, do you need my insurance? They said, no, we already know. We've already verified it. And I thought, they've already verified my insurance, but I've got my little paper card right here. So the computer,
yeah.
You know, the computers are sharing that information for us. So,
and then one other thing about the billboard.
Yeah.
It was a story on KERA. It was a story on y'all show about last month. They were discussing the billboards, and I think for every one electronic billboard, that was an agreement to remove three that wasn't electronic.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I'll have to look back. It must have been when I was on vacation. I'll have to look back and listen for that one.
All right.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Lines open, 800-933-5372. Lots of emails coming in at anything@kera.org. Let's see. Tony in Plano says, regarding confirmation that the Leicester parking lot body remains were those with King Richard III. It was indeed DNA that proved it. However, Tony says, I think it's worth pointing out the finer detail that, as I recall, it was actually mitochondrial DNA that was conclusive and incontrovertible. Further, Tony says, mitochondrial DNA is only inherited from the mother and down the female line, and the descendant from whom the mitochondrial DNA match was made is the last survivor of the line. If that female person had died before checking the DNA match, they would have not been able to confirm that those remains were actually King Richard III. Great point, Tony. Let's see. Brian says, I have to get my driver's license renewed this fall, and I've read that you have to have your fingerprints taken. Actually, I think they do it right there. There's a little scanner that you put your, well, the last time I did it, you just put your thumb on there. Brian wants to know, is there any way to get a renewal without providing fingerprints? Call us, 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington. Andrew says FM Smokehouse is one suggestion for Texas barbecue in, I guess, the mid-cities. Andrew says it also has an excellent beer selection. Oh, and he says, I'm a Kansas City native turned Texan. So there you go. Let's see. Also from Amanda, who recommends the Hard Eight Barbecue in Coppell. Amanda says they do real Texas barbecue and smoke their meats overnight. So there's a couple of answers on the barbecue in the mid-cities, and we'll get some more, I'm sure. As a matter of fact, let's get one right now from Brad in Red Oak. Hello, Brad.
Hi. Main Street Barbecue, Euless.
Very good. Thanks, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. More on the Richard III. Mark at UTD says, the discovery was not accidental. The historical record said that Richard was buried in the churchyard in Leicester after the battle. I hope I'm saying that right. Maybe it's Leicester. I'm getting an expert opinion. I'm not saying it right, but I could never hope to, according to our expert. The question was the location of Long Gone Church, Mark says. Going through other historical records, they worked out that it was where a current parking lot was, so they got permission to excavate there. And besides the DNA and the deformity of the skeleton's backbones, they just released information about the wounds to the skull that are consistent with being wounded by sword blows. He says these new results actually came out a few days ago. So there you go. Thanks, Mark. Thanks to all of you. We've got another segment coming up. So, and apparently Leicester is actually said Lester. So getting all kinds of stuff right today. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Whole other segment coming up. Your questions, your answers. So stay with us. It's anything you ever wanted to know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, Texas. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. Email address anything at kera.org. And of course, you can tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Up next on the phone, let's talk at 800-933-5372 to Amy in White House. Hello, Amy.
Hi. I was watching an episode of This Old House, and they told how to properly put mulch around a full-grown tree, you know, in order to protect the roots, that there's supposed to be a certain distance that you don't put the mulch right up against the trunk. And I could not remember, like, what the proper distance is. And my job is I work at a church, and I take care of the children's playgrounds, and there's a tree which has massive roots, and they're exposed. And, in fact, some of them are smaller roots that are about 6 or 8 feet from the base of the tree that are just poking up out of the ground. And I was wondering if it's okay to cut those smaller ones and just, you know, I'm kind of torn between trying to protect the tree and the children because the roots, they trip on them.
Well, we'll see if we get some suggestions for you.
All right, thank
okay.
you.
You bet. Let's see, up next, let's talk to Lynn in Hearst. Hello, Lynn.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well.
I just wanted to follow up on the HEB. They just notified that they're building an HEB on 121 in Mid-Cities. And there's a corner lot there, and so we're excited about that, getting that over here in Fort Worth.
Very good. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Okay. Let's see. On the Scott language, Mike says, I lived in Aberdeen in 2007, and locals spoke a language called Doric. I was told this was the native northern Scotland language, and I was told that Glasgow on the northwest coast spoke Gaelic, and as understand, so did they in Ireland. Mike says. Let's see. Allie and McKinney says, an answer to the question about the Scot language. There are a few Gaelic Scot dialects that are still spoken in the UK. The Ethnologue and Summer Institute of Linguistics websites catalog the languages of the world, and you can see the language family, as well as the number of speakers and a lot of other details, and read about endangered languages. And the website is actually ethnologue.com, which is ethnologue, ethnologue.com. So thanks very much for that. Let's go back to the phones now, 800-933-5372, and talk to Jim in Southlake. Hello, Jim.
Hello, is it me?
Yes, go right ahead.
Hi. Hi,
how
are you?
Doing well.
Yeah, I have an answer for the lady who raised a question about where to find bees.
Yeah.
And I'm a gardener, and I saw a lot of bees just naturally flying into my garden. I wonder if she can just have some kind of flower and sit in her yard and balcony.
Just catch one?
And, to attract the bees. I mean, even if she got the bees from the bee association, there's still a problem how to handle these bees, right? You got to. I don't think anybody is authorized to, you know, hold the bee and do the treatment. So it got to be herself to do that.
I think she might be planning on doing it herself. The administering of the sting, right? I guess you have to agitate the bee and then. So I mean, bees are flying around. I mean, obviously, we don't want to, catch all the bees because we need the bees to make food and stuff. So
I mean, it's an experience when I was young, and we just put paper, just wrap some paper on your finger and thumb, and you just catch the bee really easy. I mean, the sting won't go through the paper,
right.
Any paper, and you just pick it up, and that's it.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Up next at 800-933-5372 is Imad in Dallas. Hello, Imad.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
You bet.
I'm wondering why there is no French vehicle sold in North America.
I don't know. We'll see if we get an answer for you. Are you looking for a specific French car?
No, not. I've noticed none of the French vehicles are sold in North America.
Right.
It's just I don't know.
It's just not an export market for them necessarily.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see if we get an answer as to why.
Okay, appreciate that.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email. Always open, anything at kera.org. Harold and McKinney says, if you're looking for a Dallas area or North Texas model store, you might check with the North Central Texas chapter of the International Plastic Modelers Society. The North Central Texas chapter of the International Plastic Modelers Society. I bet you can find that. Let's see. This is from Justin in Fort Worth, who's wondering if this weekend's Pride Parade in Dallas is family friendly. Does anybody know? Let's see. Meg wants to know, what do I do if I completely forgot my jury duty date in Dallas? And I'm a lawyer by trade, but I don't practice. She says in New York, not Texas. So I feel even more terrible for missing it. What happens now? Is there a warrant? Can I just call them and try to have it rescheduled? I think you can probably just call them and just get it rescheduled. I think. We'll see if somebody has. I mean, I don't think if you call them, they're going to say you're under arrest or anything. I mean, if you've been to jury duty, you know that a lot of people don't show up. And I think it takes a particularly bad situation for, law enforcement to be dispatched to bring in enough people to serve on a jury, but not everybody shows up. But you might just call them. We'll see if we get a suggestion for you. Because I know, I've heard the story too. Someone had a jury date and they couldn't make it. They called to get rescheduled. Were told that it would be on a certain date, and then the summons never came. So I assume that they just didn't need them. So maybe, you know, maybe you'll get rescheduled. Maybe they'll just put you back through. You might just, you know, you might just reach out and ask, and someone will know. Let's see. This is from the Anything inbox. David in Fort Worth says, there is something called the Scots language. It continues to exist and is spoken today. It differs somewhat in syntax and vocabulary from standard English. It's not a form of Gaelic, as it is a Germanic rather than Celtic language, and it's not simply Scottish English. However, Scots speakers often do not describe it as a language. Often when asked whether Scots is a language, they say something like, it's just a way of speaking. So there you go. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Joan in Dallas. Hello, Joan.
Yes, thank you. Regarding the fingerprints for driver's licenses,
yeah.
I taught school for 30 years, and so I don't have any fingerprints. And many people who've worked many, many years with thousands of pieces of paper don't have fingerprints.
Mm-hmm.
So has anyone gone down for a license renewal who doesn't have fingerprints? And if so, what happened?
That's a good question.
Require anything else?
I mean, it's just a little red scanner thing that you don't have to go through the fingerprinting. Like if you've had to go through fingerprinting, right, for some sort of background check or something, with your fingerprints, you know, or your lack of them, you know how difficult it is for them to get fingerprints, right?
Right.
I don't think it's that kind of, there's not that kind of rigor attached to it. It's kind of, you know, you put your thumb on the, when I got my driver's license, and I asked, is this required? Yes, it's required, is the answer that you get. And I think we've addressed this on the show before too, but you just had to put your thumb on the scanner and they scanned it and then, okay, thank you. And then, you know, that was it. So I don't know, maybe there is more rigor with it now. Maybe they're getting more than one fingerprint. We'll see if somebody knows.
All right. Thank you.
All right, you bet. And if not today, then maybe that's something that we can continue perhaps next week. Let's see. On the question of whether it's okay to attach shiplap boards to wall studs with or without drywall, Larry says, think about it this way. Your kitchen cabinets, the upper cabinets in your kitchen, are hanging on the wall studs, which are also covered with drywall. And if the wall studs can support the weight of the kitchen cabinets filled with plates, cans, and everything else that's found in a typical cabinet, they can also support the weight of shiplap boards attached to the walls. So there's that. And also it's important to remember that the roof of your house is sitting on top of all those studs. You know, it's holding your house up too. So there you go. Let's see. The National Drive Electric Week spot we ran, we've been running on the air apparently, is going on now until the 21st. And there's a website. This is from Shelley, who's on the other side of the glass, our engineer, Shelley Kennedy. Thanks, Shelley. DriveElectricWeek.org is the website. So that's an answer to the question we had about the electric car initiative. 800-933-5372. Up next is Holly in Dallas. Hello, Holly.
Hello.
Hey there.
I just had a question. If anybody knows the vague timeline or anticipated completion date of the Bixmaster project.
Yes, it's the horseshoe, right? The horseshoe project.
Well, whatever they're
doing. The I-30 reroute and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if we get an answer for you.
Okay, thank you.
Up next, 800-933-5372, is Clark in Weatherford. Hello, Clark.
Hey, Jeff.
Hi there.
How are you doing today?
Doing well.
I just have a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
What's the time and date of this gubernatorial debate? I just realized it rhymes.
Right. Well, there are two.
There's two. Okay.
Yes, there's one this evening.
This evening, okay.
Which
mark
is...
Mark that down. It's Friday 19th. This evening, what time?
It starts at 6 p.m.
6 p.m.
Central Time. And actually, you can see it on KERA Television, Channel 13. And you can hear it right here on 90.1. And we're going to lead into it tonight with some special coverage starting at 5:50 on the radio. Yes, so at 5:50 this evening, we'll start some special local coverage leading up to the debate, which begins at 6 p.m. And the debate's originating in Edinburgh, Texas, down in the valley.
Edinburgh?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good... Okay.
It's down near McAllen. And so this is the first of two scheduled gubernatorial debates. The
right.
second debate... between Greg Abbott and Wendy Davis is going to be held right here at KERA on Tuesday, September 30th.
September 30th, Tuesday, okay.
And that's at 8 p.m. Central Time.
8 p.m. I'm writing it down on my calendar.
And that'll also be on radio and television on KERA. And that debate is being produced through a partnership that KERA has with NBC 5, the Dallas Morning News, Telemundo 39, the Texas Association of Broadcasters, and some other partners. And so that debate is also going to be live. It's going to originate from KERA at 8 p.m. on Tuesday, September 30th.
Okay, thanks for the great info.
You bet. Hey, thanks for calling and asking.
Yeah, bye-bye. Right.
Program note tonight, 6 o'clock right here on KERA 90.1, the first gubernatorial debate of the political season. This is from Bethany, who says, last year's Pride Fest had a family zone that was awesome, but they canceled for this year, much to the disappointment of hundreds of families who enjoyed it last year. Bethany says, the parade is moderately okay for kids, but there is a lot of drinking, and the festival area is okay earlier in the day, but it gets a little rowdier as the day goes on. Bethany says, it's generally accepted that the Fort Worth Pride Fest and parade are a little more family-friendly. So there's an opinion from a listener. Thanks very much, Bethany, for that. And this is from David, who says, the reason French cars are rarely sold in the U.S. is because of emission standards. He says the current CEO of GM is trying to work with the U.S. government to get approval to bring in some French brands of cars. He says, I saw this on a recent 60 Minutes episode. So there is that. And let's see if we can get one more answer in. I've got this is from Greg, who says the North Main Barbecue in Euless is great, according to Greg. So there's one last answer on the barbecue situation. And I think we have time for one more quick call. Let's talk to Jeff in Plano. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well.
Question is about utility providers around here. Mm-hmm. Carolina Transplant, and there it's kind of a pay for what you use. But here, every month I get penalized for not, quote unquote, using enough energy. Where's my incentive to save, and how are they allowed to do this?
And
that's okay. I mean, it's kind of strange. It's $10 every month. Now, mind you, it's not a lot, but what they're telling me I have to consume is up to 1,000 kilowatt hours per month to avoid that penalty. Well, by the time I've used that much energy, I will have exceeded that $10 penalty by a bunch.
Well, Jeff, sadly, we're out of time today, but we'll see if we can get an answer for you on that for next week.
I'll be tuning in quite regularly now.
Right, great,
I found this very interesting. It's a
great
good program. What time do you start?
Noon on Fridays. Right here, noon to 1 on Fridays.
Outstanding, outstanding. Well,
thanks,
Jeff. You're doing a good job.
Appreciate
what you're doing.
Thanks for joining us. Thank you for joining us.
Well, hey, Jeff, we have one question for you. One last question today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, here in the studio, we want to know, what are you going to do for your birthday today?
Thanks very much.
Happy birthday.
Well, I've done the show, so thanks very much to all of you. That's Shelley Canavy right there that you just heard. And Fiona Norton answers the phones. And today's show was produced by Lindsay Connect. Thanks very much, Lindsay. And Christine McConnell produces the podcast. I don't know, I think I'll just go back to my desk and get some more work done. Because the fun part of the day is over now. So, hey, thanks to all of you for tuning in today. And we'll see you next week.